Now, a momentary distraction, but it's quite relevant to what we're doing. I want to take you to the other end of the world for a while, because, interestingly enough, there's a man who was absolutely same dates as Theodore of Mopsuestia, a man who died in 430, 2 years after him, a man who was made a bishop 3 years after him, and who was born about 2 years after him. They didn't know each other, because they're in different parts of the world. But the great Augustine in the West, in Hippo, near Carthage in Africa, was contemporaneous with Theodore. And it's fascinating, I found it, having read millions of pages of Augustine, it's fascinating to find how close they are in their theology. So let's look at it. And you'll find him using the same words in Latin, of course. Let's try this, for example. Augustine of Hippo, 354 to 430. Speaking of the Trinity in a sermon, a Christmas sermon given 3 years before his death, in 427 AD. A lovely, clear mind this man has. For, he says, though the one, he's speaking of the Father and the Son, and he says, though the one be one person, and the other another person, it does not follow that one is one thing and the other another. But what the one is, the other is also. He who is the one is not the other, but what the one is, that the other is also. Imagine that in Latin. Really, it's brilliantly clear, I think, don't you? I mean, it's just a superbly brilliant statement about what you are and who you are and the distinction. The point I'm trying to make is that he's using the word persona, a Latin word, person. I'll come and look at it here. The meaning of persona, what's it mean in Latin? Now, important to notice, persona does not mean face. It's not like the Greek. It doesn't mean face, appearance, or presence, and is never used as such. So in that sense, it's not the same as the Greek in its origin. But persona was used for the actor's mask. That's its original meaning. And you can see why if you know a little bit of Latin. Per in Latin means through, and sonare means to sound. And they wore the mask, and part of the purpose of the mask was to create volume. Kind of close, like you're talking to a shell, you can give a bit of volume or into a loudspeaker kind of thing. It also had a resonant effect, but it also, of course, the mask was not like our English mask. We've got an obvious distinction, but it mightn't be obvious to you, so let me make it. We often talk about a mask as something that is there to hide who you are, don't we? That's not the meaning of mask in any of the dramas right up till modern times. A mask was there to reveal who you are for the purpose of the drama. See? Different angle. The mask. You are Aphrodite. And they believed your enthusiasm, what the gods entered into you at that. Acting was a real divine drama. And inspired, and, you know, that's the way they often looked at it. And so when they got up, did you ever see the film Amadeus? That magnificent, Don Giovanni, is it the dad? Bloke, massive father came through. Ooh, God, powerful deity. Go and see. Anyhow, for the purpose of the drama, that is death, you know, coming through the door. And don't, as if everyone on the stage. So here, personare. The person means the mask through which you speak, the mask that reveals the sacred character you are living out and inspired by in this moment of drama. So it comes to mean the character, the role, and back with our same Greek word, the personality, your person, the subject. Identical, in other words, in its usage with the Greek prosopon. So he's talking about there being one subject here. One subject is the Son, and the Father is a different subject. But they are the same thing. The thing they are, of course, is God. All I want you to retain now, that is the use of the word persona. Now, a little thing that'll send you right over the edge. But I think historically I found this fascinating when I dug it out somewhere in his De Trinitate. and I'd never seen it before anywhere, so I thought, well, why don't we get this out in the open for our little group. Are you ready? Augustine, this is De Trinitate, published in 428, the year Theodore died, and 2 years before his own death. In fact, he'd been working on it for 30 years. It was only published because someone grabbed the... he's an old man and he was sick, and they pinched the manuscripts and published it. Augustine didn't want it published because it wasn't ready yet. He didn't think, well, of course it never would have been ready. So we're glad that his 30 or 40 years of work got out into the open. Otherwise it could have died with him. But he'd been working on this for years and years and years, published just before his death, and he says this. He wasn't a Greek scholar. He was a Latin speaker, of course, but not a Greek scholar. And he admits here that he's got problem with the Greek terminology. And I'm only sharing it with you because it's not just a terminological difference, it's an insight difference, as often it is. He says this. I'll read it simply, and if it loses you, I'm sorry. And if you get anywhere, I'm pleased. I give, and I've got the Latin words surrounded for you. I give, he says, Augustine, the name essentia, essence, to what the Greeks call ousia, but which we more generally designate as substantia. They, he said, the Greeks, also say hypostasis, but I don't know what difference they intend between ousia and hypostasis. Couldn't cotton on to the difference, and it is an arbitrary difference. So that's an interesting point. He said, they, the Greeks, and we've seen this, speak of one ousia and three hypostases. And for Latin, our Latin of that, he says, is one essentia and three substantiae. But he says, since our usage is already established, and we mean by essentia the same as substantia, es substance, the same in the Latin usage, he says, we couldn't say one essentia and three substantiae, because they mean the same thing in Latin. But we say in Latin, one essentia or substantia, one essence or substance in the divine being, and the general usage among Latin scholars is three personae, three persons. Enough? Now, little bit of history to throw in here. In other words, okay, I think we've said it clearly, the Latin usage is to essence and substance are the same. There's only one essence in God, one substance, one being. And they prefer to use the word person as that which in the Trinity is distinct between Father, Son and Spirit. And he's a bit baffled by the Greek usage, which makes the distinction between ousia and hypostasis. We looked at that under Athanasius when he was brought that up at the Council of Alexandria in whatever it was, 262, I think. It's interesting, he says, you know, how the Latin usage has been in, what's he say there? Our usage is already established. I'll take you back and only leave it there for a second because I don't want to delay on it. But at the Council of Nicaea, 325, the first council of the church, you might remember it was called by Constantine, and he brought Hosius over with him, the Bishop of Cordoba in Spain, and that was the first council to do any of this defining, and the Nicene Creed speaks of the Son being homo ousios with the Father, one being with the Father, and of the same being as the Father. It ends, you might remember or you mightn't, at the end of the Nicene Creed they had an anathema. Anathema, it is wrong to say that the Son, not being God, was created from some other hypostasis or ousia, used interchangeably. In other words, there's the Latin terminology being used. One substance or one being, one essence. And they used it interchangeably. The Greeks weren't happy with that, and you saw all the trouble that occurred between Nicaea and Constantinople because of all this usage. And they found clarity by making a distinction between hypostasis and ousia, and that gets dropped out of later Greek usage. Are you all still with me? Aren't you good? Let's go back to Augustine then and look at a little bit more of his, just for a moment, and then I'll come back. This is also from his De Trinitate, or his book on the Trinity. Let us believe that the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, the creator and ruler of all creatures. That the Father is not the Son, nor is the Holy Spirit the Father or the Son, but that there is a trinity of interrelated persons and a unity of equal essence. Let us seek to understand this, imploring the help of whom? Of him whom we wish to understand. He's not pretending to penetrate the mystery, but there is in the Trinity, he's saying, one essence, one being, and it's equally shared in, if you like, in the unity of that one being by three subjects who interrelate in love. Commune. It's a communion. God is a communion. And there's, I think, Augustine's, I think again, a clear statement of it. And, right, using the word person there again. Moving now to Augustine's, and this is my last statement from Augustine, look at Jesus now, not so much the Trinity, but Jesus. He uses the same words as Theodore was using in the East, the word person and nature, which we've got familiar with in our translation in the Western Church. Because the Word was made flesh, the Word did not become flesh by ceasing to be. On the contrary, the flesh, lest it should cease to be, was joined to the Word, so that just as man is body and soul, Christ might be God and man. Not in a confusion of natures, natura, but in the unity of one person. That's a sermon, an earlier sermon of Augustine, a Christmas sermon from 411 AD. And not a confusion of natures, but the unity of one person. Let's go back east again, and I'll locate the problem and then move into history. That might make sense to you. The problem that the Latin Church had with Greek terminology, and I don't know that it's only terminology, but it's at least that, is, as I've tried to describe it there, if, as the Greeks did, they spoke of the Trinity, Father, Son and Spirit, as one ousia and three hypostases, okay, that sounded to a Latin speaker and a Latin thinker, a Western church person, it sounded like talking about one essence and three subsistent beings. Much as you might say in this room, if there were three of us here, each of us has the one essence, the one being, we're all human, the one humanity, but we're three substances, all sharing the one humanity. You've got the logic? And clearly that's not what the Greeks meant. But their words sounded odd to the Latins, and you can imagine people thinking, it doesn't sound too right, because that did sound a bit like using that in an abstract sense, essence, rather than a concrete sense of our being. And so you've got almost like saying there are three gods. The problem for the Greeks with the Latin terminology, right back from Hosius on, and the point I'm making it here for is the problem they have with Theodore of Mopsuestia, who is actually using very similar terminology, their problem was that if you say, there's only, in speaking of the words about God, there's one essentia, one essence, and three persone, three persons, it sounds awfully to a Greek, like you're saying there's one existent being, one God, who's got three masks, three personae, like one bloke does three acts in the play, three presenting faces, and that was an ancient heresy that goes right back to Noetus, Praxius, Sibelius, we've seen it all the way along the line. And can't you see why when Theodore starts talking about one, talking about person, they're wondering, is he talking about mask? When he says there's one person, Jesus is one person with two natures, are they saying that there are really two beings who wear the same mask? Is he talking at that level, or what's he saying was the problem they had to face?